Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 10, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And, of course, John shows Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. In fact, if you remember, at the very end of the book, John writes this. He said, there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but the ones, these are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing that you would have life. The purpose of the book is that people would see who Jesus is and believe in him as Savior. When we get to John chapter 10, we're in really a kind of a special section because Jesus declares that he's the shepherd of the sheep, and that's what he's talking about. And as we've seen this these last few weeks, we've seen that he's the true shepherd who is the way of life. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life. He is the shepherd who gives eternal life. And then he is the shepherd who is God. And that's what we're seeing as we're going through this, and we've seen a lot of that. Well, this morning we're actually in John 10, and we didn't get to have scripture reading this morning, but we're going to start at verse 22 and go through verse 30. And this is where Jesus talks about that he is the shepherd who gives his sheep eternal life. And so as we begin, let me just raise some questions for you to think about, okay? First of all, what is the Feast of Dedication? Because in verse 22 it starts and says, at the time the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. So what's the Feast of Dedication? Second, what is the difference between security and assurance? And then third, what does Jesus Christ promise to the sheep? What does he say? There's a lot there, and we'll see it. And we'll go quickly through the passage, but we'll see it this morning. Well, let's begin this. The most important question that a person could ask and answer is this. What does a person have to do in order to go to heaven? What must one do to have eternal life or have an eternal relationship with God? The answer is so simple that it is often missed. The answer is faith in Jesus Christ. To believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, you trust in him as your Savior. Because Jesus left the glories of heaven, he came to the earth, he died on the cross, he paid for sin and rose again. And whoever believes in him has everlasting life. The Bible says by faith we have eternal life, that we're saved, that we're made righteous, that we're reconciled to God, that we receive forgiveness, that we're a child of God. In fact, probably the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16 that says that God loved the world. That's us. That he gave his son. He gave his son Jesus Christ to come to the earth, die on the cross, pay for our sin, be buried, and rise again. That whoever, any person, believes in him, puts their faith in him, trusts in him as Savior, will never perish. He'll never be separated from God, but will have eternal life. And eternal life is life forever with Jesus Christ. That's so powerful. Now, that's the way it is. Now, with that question in mind, I want to raise a second question. And it's an important one as well. And it's this. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, and they have eternal life, and they've been made righteous, are they saved forever? Will they go to heaven no matter what? Are they secure in Christ? Well, the answer is yes. The truth is that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are safe and secure because he gives us eternal life and we will never perish. Jesus Christ declares in our passage this morning that he gives the sheep eternal life and they will never perish. We have security in Jesus Christ. And as believers, we can have the assurance of our salvation, which is our understanding of our security. There is so much in this passage. Well, let's begin. In John chapter 10, Jesus, we're seeing Jesus as a shepherd. We find this picture really of being a shepherd is throughout the Bible. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The 100th Psalm says, we are the sheep of his pasture. As we look at John chapter 10, Jesus represents himself as the shepherd. And let me remind you of how this fits. In John chapter 10, Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's around 4 to 5 months before he goes to the cross for us. Now, he heals a man born blind. And we would all say that if this man who had never seen Jesus heals him, everybody ought to be hugging and jumping up and down and having a great time. But the religious leaders, they miss the miracle. They're so mad because Jesus did the healing on a Sabbath day. And so they're all mad about that. And they've challenged him. And there's conflicts. And he's in the temple area. And he's in the temple area. He begins to teach. Now, what I want you to realize is that this passage is divided into two parts. He teaches two things, And then there's about a month break before he teaches the other thing. Two things. Let me show you. He, first of all, in verses 1 through 10, he taught that he's the true shepherd. That's the way of life. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. Then last week, we saw verses 11 through 21, where he's the good shepherd who lays down his life. Can't really tell it right this second, but there's a break in there. In fact, there's a break in about a month. And about a month later, Jesus comes back and teaches two more things. One, that in verses 22 through 30, which is today, he's going to say that he is the shepherd who gives eternal life. And then at the very end, and we'll see this next week, he's the shepherd who is God. And we'll see how that ties together. So it's really, really powerful. This morning, we see Jesus the shepherd who gives eternal life. Now, here's what I want to do, because this passage deals with assurance and salvation and security. But I want to do several things. First, I want to do this. We're going to get a brief review by breaking down the passage. We're going to look at the feast, get a little background. We're going to talk about security and assurance as we go through this passage, which is verses 22 through 30. So let's begin. Let's just see what's going on. Remember, Jesus has declared that he's the true shepherd. He's the true shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, think if you were there. Jesus Christ tells, and the religious leaders are listening, the crowd is listening. He said, I'm the true shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. In fact, he said this, I lay down my life and I take it up again. He says, I'm going to die and rise again. Now, what was the response of the religious leaders? Look at verse 19. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words, because what he said. He said, I lay down my life, I take it up again. Many of them were saying, he has a demon, he's insane, why do you even listen to him? But others were saying, no. These are not the sayings of a demon-possessed person. A demon cannot open the eyes of blind, can he? And so they're beginning to argue. And some say that he's demon-possessed and he's nothing. Some say, I just don't know. I don't know what to think. Now, I'm talking about the religious leaders here. As we begin this morning, we're going to find that about a month has passed because it's now at the time called the Feast of the Dedication, or the Dedication Feast. What's he talking about? Let me break down the passage for you and show you how it's going to work. Verses 22 through 25, the religious leaders question Jesus. They come and they ask him all these questions. And then in verses 26 through 30, he says, I'm the shepherd who gives eternal life, and he declares that he is God. So let's begin. And to understand what's going on, you have to have a little background on this Feast of Dedication. Look at verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. Now, this feast has several names. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Lights, sometimes it's called Hanukkah, and sometimes it's called the Feast of Dedication. Let me remind you of what happened. About 170 years before Jesus was ever born, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, had been conquered by an empire called the Assyrians, that basically Syria. And there was a king there called Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. He was an evil man. Let me tell you what happened. He was in a battle, and rumor was that he had been killed in the battle. The Jewish people who hated him had a big party. He hadn't been killed. He found out that the Jewish people were glad that he died, or thought that he died. So he came back, and he went through the city, and he came to Jerusalem, and he started killing every people. All people, men, women, children. He went to the temple, and he tore up the temple, and he took a pig, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar in Jerusalem, which was totally foreign to everything. And then he took the Bible, and he tore it up. And then any boys that he found had been circumcised, he killed little boys and hung them around their mother's neck. That's the kind of evil man he was. And so this was in about 176 B.C. The Jewish people, under the leadership of a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus, decided they were going to start fighting back. And so they got guerrilla warfare. They would go up and sneak up on some of his soldiers and kill him and run off. And over a period of about 3 years, they defeated Antiochus Epiphanes' army. And they went back into Jerusalem and they took the city back. And when they went to the temple, it was a mess. It had been all messed up. And so they began to cleanse the temple. And in the temple, there was this big lampstand that it stayed burning all the time. They only had enough oil to burn for one day. It was supposed to burn all the time. And they said, well, we got to go ahead and light the candle. And they said, it'll take us 4 or 5 days to make more oil. We got to light the candle anyway. And guess what happened? The candle burned for 8 days. And it was a miracle. And they began to celebrate the miracle of taking back the city, cleansing the temple, and the lamp burning for 8 days. And they call that the Feast of Lights, also called Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Dedication, because they dedicated the temple. So it was at this time. Now, Hanukkah, you know that Hanukkah takes place oftentimes around the same time as Christmas. And so Hanukkah is in the winter time. And notice what it says. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. It's actually, the Jewish calendar is the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which always corresponds to November, December. Most of the time, it's in December. And that's why a lot of people get confused and they think Hanukkah is like a Jewish Christmas. It has nothing to do with Christmas. It has to do with the dedication of the temple and the Feast of Lights. And watch what happens. It was at the time of the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Now, he's in the temple. I want you to see what this looked like. We have a shot of that. This is the portico of Solomon. That's how it looked in that day and time. There was a big open space where people, it's called Solomon's Porch, and people could congregate out there. And then there was all these columns called the portico, and people would walk in there, and they would meet in there, and they would talk in there. Jesus is what it says. Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. That's where he is. Now watch what happened. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Now they gathered around him. Now listen, if you just read this, you think Jesus is walking and a couple of them come up to him and say, hey, we got some questions to ask you. That's not what happened. The way it's written in the Greek, they encircled him. In fact, they hemmed him in. They trapped him, and like he's walking and suddenly he's completely surrounded by all these Jewish leaders. And they say to him, in fact, it says they kept on saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, they're getting on him, and they're basically saying, tell us the truth. See, they don't believe he's the Christ. They've already rejected him. In fact, they said, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And in fact, think about this. They had already seen all his works. They had heard his words. They had listened to his teaching, and they still rejected him. When he healed the man born blind, think about that. A person who had never seen in his life, suddenly he could see. Instead of them being happy, they said he did it on the Sabbath day. They're not interested in Jesus being the Messiah. And so they gather around him and they're trying to challenge him. What they really hope, they hope somehow he'll say something wrong and they can get him into trouble. If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And by the way, the way it's written in the Greek, it's a first class if, which literally means if and it's true, you're the Christ, tell us. They're saying if, and let's assume that you really think you're the Christ. Why don't you tell us who you are? Look how he answers them. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. Lord, he looked at him and said, I've already told you. I've told you over and over who I am, and you don't believe me. Look what he's done. He said, I've come to do the will of the Father. He told him he's God. He's told him he's the light of the world. He told him he's the gate of the sheep. He fed 5,000. He said, I'm the living water. I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said it over and over and over again who he is. So when they say to him, why don't you tell us the truth? He said, I've told you over and over and over, and you do not believe me. By his words and his works, he has shown them he's the Christ. And by the way, you understand this, that when you present Jesus Christ as Savior, when you go out, there's always going to be two responses to Christ. One of two. When you go out of this place and you tell people that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross, and he paid for sin, and he rose again, and he gives you eternal life as a gift, when you tell people that, there'll be some people who believe, and there'll be some people who reject. There'll be people who will believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. There'll be people who will reject him, and they'll be separated. He says, I've told you, and the works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. What had he done? Well, up to this point, he's done, John has recorded for 6 of the 7 signs. Think what he's done. He changed the water to wine that shows he's creator. He healed a nobleman's son that shows he's everywhere. He healed the crippled man that showed his power. He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, which shows that he supplies all needs. He walked on the water, which shows his power over nature. And he healed the blind man, which shows that he is the light of the world. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of who I am. This is who I am. I'm the Messiah. It goes back to the verse I quoted right at the first when we talked about John 20, 30 and 31. There are many other signs that Jesus did that are not in this book, but these are in this book that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you would have eternal life. He's done these signs that religious leaders have rejected him. And so they look at him and say, won't you tell us plainly? He said, look, I've already told you, and you do not believe the things that I do, but the works I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. Now, I want you to see this, because the rest of the passage is going to be three things. He's going to tell them they're not his sheep. He's going to talk about that he gives eternal life and salvation and security to his sheep, and that he is God. We'll go through this quickly. I just want you to see it. First of all, he tells them they're not his sheep. And he's talking to the religious leaders. Look what he says. Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. He says, you're not my sheep. They don't believe in Jesus as Messiah. They don't belong to Jesus as the Savior. They don't look at him in that way. They're not his sheep. You know, and so he says, you do not believe in me because you're not my sheep. By faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this room, you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. You are his sheep. It goes back to the last time that he talked to them. He told them that he was the true shepherd and they weren't. And that he is the one who gives life. He says, you're not my sheep. You don't believe. Now watch what he goes on to say. And he's talking about his sheep. And look what he does. He says he gives his sheep eternal life. Now I want you to understand the next couple of verses are two of the most important, vital verses in the Word of God. Look what he says. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He says, first of all, in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Three things there. They hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He's saying, I'm the shepherd. They know me. They have trusted in me. I know them. And see, that's the great truth. When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the shepherd knows you, and you know the shepherd. The shepherd knows the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. He is our Savior. When we trusted in Christ, Jesus knows you, and you know Jesus. Now, when he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He's not talking about discipleship there, not in this passage. Because if you go back to verse 9, he talks about that they follow him and they enter into salvation. He's saying, they have trusted in me, I give them life. He says, they follow me, follow him in the way of salvation. Now, here's the key. This next verse, verse 28, when he says, I give eternal life to them, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's one of the most powerful passages in the Scripture. This passage deals with security and assurance, and it goes back to two things. It goes back to the promises and the power of God. We're going to see Jesus' promise. We're going to see his power. Let's start with the promise. Look what he says. His promise is this. It's supposed to be verse 28. It says, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. One of the clearest passages in the Scripture showing that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, he gives them eternal life. Now let's talk about all of this. And the words I think that kind of go together here is, he says, I give eternal life and never perish. Notice this, these words. I give eternal life, never perish. Let's start with the I. The I is Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives eternal life. Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the one in him is life. The only way we can have life is Jesus Christ. It is not what we do. It is not what we try to do. It is not joining church, getting baptized, doing any kind of thing. We're not the saviors. We don't get eternal life. We don't give ourselves eternal life. He's the one that gives life. He says, I give. Now notice the second word, give. He didn't say you earn eternal life. He says, I give eternal life. It is a gift. We do not earn it. We are given eternal life as a gift. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. The third key word is eternal life. He gives eternal life. Now, you have to grasp this, because sometimes you've heard this all your life and you're not realizing exactly what it's saying. He says, I give eternal life. Eternal life is living forever with Jesus Christ. Eternal life is eternal. If it could end in any way, shape, or form, it's not eternal life. You hear some people say, well, what do you get when you believe? You get eternal life. Well, you'll be with Jesus forever. Well, I hope so. Wait a minute. Do you understand what eternal life is? How long is eternal life? Eternal life is forever. He says, I give you eternal life, and you will never perish. In the Greek, it says, no way ever perish. In fact, literally, it says, no way, no how, unto eternity will you perish. There's no possible way. John Mitchell, who was a Bible teacher of years ago, said, when he says never, he means never. You're never going to perish. Jesus says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. The promise is eternal life. Now, I've got a question for you. Are you ready? Do you understand what eternal life means? Eternal life means forever with Jesus Christ. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you believe, John chapter 5, verse 24 says, the moment you believe, you get eternal life right then. So right now, you have eternal life, which means you have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. It cannot end. If it ends, it wasn't eternal life. There are people that you talk to every day, and you'll talk to them, and you'll say, if you were to die, will you go to heaven? Well, I hope so. You trust in Christ? Yeah. What did he give you? He gives me eternal life. So you've got eternal life. Well, I hope so. Were you going to be with Jesus forever? Well, I hope so. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life forever with Jesus Christ. It cannot end. It is not based on you. It is not based on your faithfulness. It is not based on what you do. It is not based on you hanging in there. It is based on Jesus Christ, who says, I give to you as a gift eternal life, and you will never, ever perish. That's his promise. You should be excited. We should be going, this is unbelievable. We got to go tell people this. We got to go tell people that when they believe in Jesus, they will live forever with Jesus Christ. And that physical death will not be the end. We're going to see when we get to chapter 11. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he lives again. He's the resurrection and the life. That's his promise. Look at his power. Here's the power. He says, and nobody can snatch them out of my hand. Nothing can ever pull us. He has the power. He's holding us. We're not holding on to him. I want you to understand, you're not holding on to God. When you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not saying, oh, I just hope I can hang on so I can make it to heaven. You're not hanging on. He's holding on to you. You're not holding on to him. If it's dependent on you, you're not going to make it, because we're not faithful. None of us are. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. If it's dependent on us, we're not going to make it, but it's not dependent on us, because he's holding us in his hand. He says, here's my promise. I give you eternal life. Here's my power. Nobody can pull you out of my hand. Nobody. He's holding on to us. We're safe in the hand of God. I heard some person say, well, you can jump out of his hand. Nobody else can pull you out, but you could jump out. That is so stupid. He's God. He has you. You have eternal life as a gift. Now, there's even more, because he just wanted to make sure they grasp this. He went on to say, my Father who has given to me is greater than all. Nobody's able to snatch him out of the Father's hand. He said, just in case you got worried about Jesus, that maybe he couldn't hold on. He says, my Father who's given to me is greater than all. Nobody can snatch him out of the Father's hand. You know why? Because he and the Father are one. That's the next verse. See, the promise. Eternal life will never perish. The power. Nobody is able to pull us out. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. Romans chapter 8, he says, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The end of the chapter says, what can separate us from the love of God? The answer is nothing. Now, you've got to understand something. Listen to this. I want to talk about for a second the issue of security and assurance, okay? Security is that we're safe in Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life, and you are secure forever in Christ. Assurance is our understanding of our security in Christ. There are people who have put their faith in Christ as Savior. They have eternal life, but they don't know it. They're not assured of that. They don't understand the security in Christ. There's some people you'll talk to and you'll say, have you trusted in Christ? Yes. You have eternal life? Yes. You going to heaven? I hope so. They don't grasp it. They don't have the assurance of salvation. You must have the assurance of your salvation going back to the security that you have in Christ. He is holding on to you. He has given you eternal life. You will never perish. You should have the assurance of your salvation. And so if you're in this room today and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you can say, I am secure in Christ because He's given me eternal life and I'll never perish. And I know that I have eternal life. That's the assurance of your salvation. 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. There are people that you come in contact with every day and they are serving God out of fear. Because they believed in Christ, and they've been told they've got eternal life, but they don't understand it, and they think they might could lose it, so they're so afraid, they've got to do whatever God they think God wants them to do, so they can hold on to what they got, or not lose what they got. I want you to understand, you need to serve God not out of fear, but out of love for what He has done for you. He has given to you eternal life as a gift, and you should serve Him not to hold on to what you got, because you're not the one holding. You should serve Him out of love for what He has done for you. Live your life with the assurance of your salvation because you are secure in Christ. Well, look at the last thing, and this is how He brings it together. I'll go really fast on the last. He says, I and the Father are one. What He's saying is, I'm God. That's how He finishes. He's God. I and the Father are one. He says, when you look at this whole thing, listen, I want you to know my sheep and my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life to them. They'll never perish. Nobody can pluck it out of my hand. My Father gave me is greater than all. Nobody can pluck it out of my Father's hand. Guess what? I and the Father, we're one. We're the same. One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He just said it to them again, that He is God. It makes them mad every time. Every time you see an I am statement, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am God. Every time He did one of those signs, walking on the water, healing the man, feeding the 5,000, He's showing that He is God. He just said in this passage, I and the Father are one. He's going to later on say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Over and over again. How do they respond when He says that I'm God? Look at the next verse. The Jews picked up stones again to stone Him. They want to kill Him. What have we seen? We've seen at the Feast of Lights in Jerusalem, they came up and questioned Him, are you the Christ? He said, I already told you, but you don't listen. Look at my works. And He said to the religious leaders, you're not my sheep, but my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Nobody can ever separate them. I and the Father are one. It's a powerful passage. Let me give you some applications. First of all, the signs show that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. When you look at the book of John, when you read this little, if you take these to people, give it to them, let them look at it and read it, and they'll see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior, and they'll trust in Him as Savior. The signs show that Jesus is the Christ. He has authority over nature, over sin, over death. He is the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the one who died and rose again. He is the one sent by God to be the Redeemer and the Savior. Jesus Christ is God who is the Savior. He is the only one. So the only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, to trust in Him for eternal life. See, that's the offer. He came, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, and offers to you an eternal relationship with Him simply by faith. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If not, where you're sitting right now, you don't have to get up, you don't have to walk down an aisle, you don't have to do anything. You simply believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You understand that He died for you, that He gives you as a gift eternal life, and you take the gift of eternal life. You just say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I'm trusting in Him to get me to heaven. You're saved, and you're saved for how long? Forever, because He gives you eternal life. Look at this. Second one is understand salvation and security in Christ. A, that by faith in Christ we have eternal life. You're saved and saved forever. B, when we understand our security, we can have assurance. I hope every one of you in this room, not only not only have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, but that you know that you have eternal life. You have the assurance of your salvation. It is not based on you. You cannot look to yourself to see if you have salvation. Because we all fail, we all sin, we all come short of the glory of God. You look to your Savior, Jesus Christ, for the assurance of your salvation. He is the one that has given you eternal life. May we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our God and Savior, and that by faith in Him, we have eternal life and we will never perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. Help us to understand it, Lord, that as we look at it, we see that Jesus Christ indeed is the Messiah and the Savior, that He came to the earth and died on the cross and paid for sin, and whoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that by faith in Him, there's salvation. It's not our works or our goodness. And Lord, thank you that we can know that we have eternal life. Thank you for the assurance of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that the promise of Jesus Christ is eternal life. It will never perish. The power of Jesus Christ is nothing can separate us from Him. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. As we go out these doors, Lord, may we tell people the good news message of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.